Blog Talk Radio.
Story. No glory. Let's go.
Yeah, the old me used to love a Gemini. Like a
every night. A lot of two-faced people show me both sides, so I figured out I gotta be my own type. They used to say to get a man, you had to know how to look. They used to say to keep a man, you had to know how to cook. But I'm solo and soho, sipping soju with Malibu. It's not me, myself, kind of attitude. Marry me one day. True love ain't something you can buy yourself. True love finally happens when you buy yourself. So if you buy yourself, then go and buy yourself another round from the bottle on the higher self.
I'm feeling you.
I have to take.
my Lord. I have read this book so many times, but nowhere can I find the page that says what I experience today. That life is meant to be hard. That's how I learn to appreciate my God. For my courage may be tried, I can tell you I won't hide, because the footprint shows you are by my side. You can lie.
True story. No glory. Let's go.
Yeah, the old me used to love a Gemini. Like a every night. A lot of two-faced people show me both sides. So I figured out I gotta be my own type. They used to say to get a man, you had to know how to look. They used to say to keep a man, you had to know how to cook. But I'm solo and soho, sipping soju in Malibu. If I mean myself, kinda attitude.
Cause I'm my own soulmate. I know how to love. marry me one day. True love ain't something you can buy yourself. True love finally happens when you buy yourself. So if you buy yourself, then go and buy yourself another round from the bottle on the higher shelf.
From a midday stride to a midnight strut, hands down, right here, right now. I got the hottest ticket in town, cause I'm cool, cool, whatever I do, cool. Whether I'm solo or rolling with the crew, cool. I get into it, I get into it. Can't get it out of my head, I'm into it. I'm feeling like myself again. I feel like everyone's a friend. We all need one of them days, one of them days, every now and then.
Just feels good.
I love that song, Monica.
I really, really love that song. And yes. How are you doing today?
How are you doing?
I'm just curious. I really think I'm happy that everybody has joined in and has joined us on the line today. I'm curious about our topic because I know we said that we were going to talk about entrepreneurship and innovation, and you know, which is something, guys, that we'll be doing on Monday mornings. We call it Money Monday, and sharing some ideas and things like that. And one of the things that me and my co-host Monica had found out a couple of years ago, after losing properties and businesses and mismanaging money and having financial hardships, that there was a focus and a place of accountability that was needed. And we found ourselves having these conversations in our house and around our house that was just so important. And we knew that we needed to take some initiative and do what we said we were going to do. We actually had this show in the making over 4 years ago. We just did not find the time or make room to find that time to go ahead and get this started, amongst many other things. And I know we're not the only ones who have answers, but at times people can not just glean ideas, but inspiration and hope. Resources and an agreement about things that we're going through today, and some of the things that people don't even really want to talk about, or you don't hear a lot of people really talk about. We get a lot of conversations and a lot of information all over, especially on social media, but that real heartfelt, honest conversation about it, especially things regarding church, faith, and religion, we have real-life conversations about it, real-life conversations, especially coming from a mother-daughter perspective and then two women in perspective. A lot of times people fall short on that relationship and don't know how to bounce back from a disagreement and or a different point of view or perception about anything. So I know that Monica was going to pick a topic, and I know you talked about we talked about manipulation, and then we talked about minding one's business, just so that you guys know how we came upon that conversation. Me and Monica were speaking, and I have a tendency to overthink, overtalk, and especially when I want to have my way and then want to see her do what I want her to do. And she has to be very, very clear with me about defining her private space and where I'm not allowed to cross the line in. And which is very, very true. If you want to have a growing relationship, we have to know when and how to mind our business and what's important when it comes to minding one's business. I know that when it comes to working relationships, faith relationships, fellowship relationships, or just any common relationship, when someone is prejudging or thinking so far into someone else's situation, that's a form of not minding your business, because our ultimate goal should always be to see the next person do better, as opposed to saying, oh, okay, right, you know what I mean? As opposed to saying, oh, okay, you know, well, this person is going through this, or sister so-and-so is going through this, or my brother so-and-so, or whoever it may be, and then trying to figure out why they're going through it, as if we're not human and people don't go through things, or people don't do things or make mistakes. That's, you know, that's not reality. That's a form of insanity, because we're all growing and moving in this life, and we don't all get it perfect. Even though someone can appear to have it perfectly, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. I really like that topic, Monica, because we can hold people to a place of expectation because we put them in a place of not just judgment, but what we think is good, and that's not fair. So if someone has made a mistake prior or in the past, I should be able to go forward, mind my business, again, meaning that I shouldn't be thinking about what someone has done in the past. I can consider the character of a person, but I can't consider the circumstance or the situation of a person. Those are the things that I shouldn't be holding against people. But what do you think about that? I'd like to hear your ideas and your thoughts on that.
You know, I was looking through the Facebook page one day, and one of our family members had actually had a some type of a meme or a message about a king who would throw, he had these dogs or these hyenas, he would throw his, you know, his constituents to the dogs every time they betrayed him in what he thought was betrayal. And there was this one servant who came out, and the king disagreed with what he did, and he said, "Oh, you've offended me. Feed him to the dogs. Give him to the dogs." And he said, "Wait, before you do that, let me just have a moment." So somehow the king ended up granting the servant a moment, and the servant was feeding the dogs, cleaning the dogs, bathing the dogs, you know, establishing rapport with the dogs. So now it was time for the servant to serve his sentence, and the king could not get the dogs to obey. And he says, you want to throw me away and kill me off of one small, simple thing, and here the dogs, these are animals, they're remembering me for what I did and not for what, you know, there's no offense there. And so the king had to basically forgive him. But it's just the point of not throwing a person away just because they made a simple mistake, you know, because mistakes can be, they can be learned from. You know, you can't just take and say, "Oh, well, this person did A, B, and C, and this is what we need to focus on." Sometimes those mistakes, you know, have led people to their demise, and sometimes it has also led them to their success. So, you know, you can't really judge a book by its cover. And I don't know about anybody else. This week has been a really trying week. I think the atmospheric pressure that I experienced was really, really great. I don't know if anybody else felt that same thing, like this weird resistance. Did you feel that?
I recall, I remember it feeling something kind of odd. And I remember just a couple of assignments that I know that you were trying to get to, and that I recall you saying, "Oh, okay, wait a minute." And it's, I don't really recognize it because you're so busy. I've seen you be I've seen you do like, okay, 12 different things. And it's not something that I like to try to do, but you'll do a whole bunch of different things all at one time. So I didn't notice it. But when you said it to me, I'm going, "Oh, wow." Because I felt it in my own way. You know, I'm a little bit more kind of organized because I don't move around and do as much as you do. But I'm in my own place mentally doing a lot. And I felt the pressure. And I felt it was like a place of stagnation. I think that comes from a place of, when I say not minding one owns business, like, what am I thinking about? Where am I really? What's really on my mind?
Right. What's really confusing your thoughts? Your focus. When you're thinking about,
because that could drain your energy, and that could drain the energy you have when the focus is not aligned where it's supposed to be. If I'm thinking about, back in the day, I remember when we were children, Susie could be having an argument with Waleska, and she says something, and then someone else says something. Now there's a conversation going on about what two people went through or what somebody went through that has nothing to do with anyone else.
Right.
And I remember we had the family friend who was coming out of prison, and everybody wanted to know, well, what really happened? What did you really do? And he was trying to focus on, I don't want to think about that. I want to still focus on trying to get back on my feet. But nobody was willing to help him get back on his feet. Everybody was willing to talk about what happened and what would have happened. And
right.
It was like 4 or 5 years prior. But everybody wanted to stay stuck there. And then when he did try to branch out, everyone stayed stuck on what the crime was, as opposed to the abilities. These were the people who were close to him, forget the strangers. But everyone
right.
that was even close to him wanted to stay stuck on that. That's the thing that happened so much in our community, because especially for the mothers in the community, I mean 40 and older, and who should be setting an example and coming from a place of wisdom, coming from a place of resources, coming from a place of inspiration. We should be in a place where we're able to say to a young man or a young woman or anybody, yeah, that was then, that happened then, but let's focus on now and what we're doing now, and then not hold anyone in a place of judgment, and then not take that stuff and sit in it, on it all day, every day. I think that's the most stagnating thing. And when you said what you just said to me about that thing that was happening this week, if you recall, we were in communication with so many different types of people, not just on a personal level, but on a business level, trying
right.
to do so many different things and had so many different pulls from everywhere. And I think because and I can speak for myself, I had diverted my focus from my agenda and got caught into everybody else's thing. And I believe that that's a stagnation in itself. Being able to mind my own business, I'm coming to find out in my age, and my, forget my age, but my experience, that if I don't have that focus on the agenda, the momentum, and not just what I want to do, but what I'm here for or my purpose, I'm going to start looking at everything and everyone from a false sense and a false sense of perspective, because it's not going to be real. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So that's not minding
right.
my business. That's sure, not putting myself in
the boundaries.
Wow.
Wow. Bondage. And yep, I had to go back to it, because bondage is just like, if everything that we're going to speak about is, there's like a never ending cycle. It's just like the gas prices. The gas is going to go up, it's going to go down. It might go up to about $10 a gallon, but you're still going to get it. You still got to buy it.
Mm.
Still got to use it to make the car move, unless you get a hybrid. And then, you know, I don't know, you know, if the plugs and.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a whole lot into that and the science of a hybrid vehicle. However, we're
wow.
back to the self-induced bondage. You know, now you've consumed yourself with other thoughts. And
mm-hmm.
it goes back to what I was saying about Albert Einstein and how he said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and don't focus on the things that are already going to be there. The gas prices,
wow.
the bus driver, the prices of the car, the prices of the ticket, the prices of whatever, the people who are moving around about, your friends, the naysayers, they're going to always be there. So you can't consume yourself
mm-hmm,
with none of that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep going. You know, the irate landlord or whatever the case may be, the
mm-hmm.
property management,
mm-hmm.
all these
mm-hmm.
things, they're going
mm-hmm.
to be there whether they are just or not. They're, you know, there's a time for everything. It says it in the Bible, there's a time for everything. You know, there's a time to win and there's a time to lose.
How about when someone offends you? So now you're in business with these people or fellowship with the person, or you've picked up a prayer partner, you know, any one of those situations, a relative, a close childhood friend, but now they've offended you in some kind of way. How do you get outside of that to say, okay, wait a minute, that was an offense, that was a trespass, but now I have to mind my business in that and get back to the task at hand? Because what if it means you got to speak to that person to uplift them again? you have to talk to that person to bring them a place of encouragement or pull them out of the mud, if you will, or even do a project with them. Or someone else calls you and says, hey, you know what, Serena, these people want me to do this, and can you believe that he or she wants me to do that? And then, but you know what he or she did to me, you know, and how do you deal with that? Because if we don't keep that attitude of minding our own business, guess what? You give that issue a life again, it grows back up, and then now you have another kill plan or something that could be a place of prosperity that's dead in the water because someone still has some type of unforgiveness in their heart or art in their heart or fear that says, oh, nope. I think that minding our own business includes that.
Yeah, because, again, minding your own business means simply not directing your focus on the things that don't necessarily matter. Not consuming your time or your brain or your focus with the things that are that's wasteful, and So for me, having to deal with someone, you know, I'm always a very intense person. We all know that. Very sensitive. Well, you know that. Very sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
A little intense.
Yes.
You know, I like my moments. I like me. I like my me and my introverted self. But when having to deal with adversity. I think I deal with it pretty well. So,
I think you do.
I think I deal with it pretty well because at some point you cannot take things personally. You, of all the people that I can remember, would always tell me or remind me that there is no emotion when it comes to business. And then depending on who the person is, you know, I always tend to be the one to sit still. I can take the beating. I can take the beat down, or I can always receive constructive criticism or, you know, some of the things. And I can kind of absorb some things. And again, like I said, depending on who it is, I can respond. If I can't respond and I have to remain quiet, my spirit will quicken me enough to understand this is what I need to be doing at that moment. And I can come to that person and go, hey, you know, we need to hash this out. And sometimes it takes a moment to get that thing to hash out. I've had, the girls are like, we've had issues and we've had to hash them out. It may have taken a week. It may have taken a month. You know, we've done some things to each other. We've tagged each other on some things and said, hey, you know what? And, you know, and that person said, hey, you know what? And then we don't like the words that we're changing at some point. But at the end of the day, we have to come back and go, you know what? But you're my sister, girl. I love you. Same thing that we do. You know, we don't agree with everything. And I might not tag you.
Wow.
But we disagree.
Something just came to me, too, because when you said when we disagree, as you were speaking, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to say this. So when minding your business starts affecting, when not minding your business starts affecting your mental, your prayer life, how you handle your own personal business, how you handle your health, when it just starts really, really dragging into all of that and pulling you. And it may not have anything to do with people, but just our thoughts, not minding your own business and your thoughts. You know, I could sit and I see this happen so many times. People are looking at the news and become consumed with the news. Consumed. Mm-hmm. It could be a news. It could be something with whoever, and become consumed with just bad news, bad information, a bad report, a bad article, and then get so consumed with it. Now there's not just a conversation, but a whole thought process that goes into an hour of someone's day or 2 hours in someone's day. And so when I think about minding one's own business, it's more than just not looking into somebody else's personal situation. How about even spiritually? How about even spiritually? Mm-hmm. What am I putting my mind and my thoughts on throughout the day? What am I thinking about? Am I daydreaming? Am I wandering off and allowing myself to be consumed with what whatever political party is doing, things of that nature? And, for example, because I didn't get to talk to you about this, but I was having a conversation about a couple who came to me for some help, and the spouse is in prison right now. And I was speaking mm-hmm. with another person that said, you know, the thought can't be on the offense. He's already been tried already. The man has already been sentenced. So that's not the issue. And the other person actually said, so you wouldn't want to know, you wouldn't want to care about it? No, that's not my business. I was reached out to focus on one thing, not to judge the person, not to condemn the person, and not to second guess the situation. We just need to know what's happening. And in the situation, something kept coming up that we couldn't get this pro bono attorney because of certain evidence that they thought they were seeing. And what I wanted to share and what I think we all ended up agreeing upon after speaking with this another common person that's on the situation was that we cannot be focused on things that we have nothing to do with. Or everyone loses the track of what we're supposed to be doing, but the purpose. See, God will assign you to a situation, into someone or something, or give someone an appointment to do something that only you and God know about. And if we don't know how to mind our business, guess what? Your assignment gets misconstrued, because that means that anybody could come along and tell you what your assignment is. Now, anyone could come along and say, oh, but you should be doing this or you should be doing that. Oh, but you know what? Maybe this happened or maybe that happened. Now, your assignment is all messed up. And this is how assignments get aborted and confused. This is why people drop things. They drop, because I used to do it. I used to drop people like a hot potato and probably still do. If people, my middle name is Switch Up on You. Because if you're going to do something or I feel like I'm involved with somebody that's going to cost me my life or cause drama for me and my household, I'm not taking any chances. What I found out that minding my business does not put me in danger because I have nothing to do with anything else. I have to be in position to being about my business. Regardless of what's going there, and if someone is picking boogies and has been sentenced to picking boogies, I can't sit and think about, well, why were they picking boogies? I wonder, well, why did they start picking boogies? When did they start picking the boogies? Did they pluck them on somebody else? Did somebody else pick boogies with them? Yeah, no, that's not my point. So if someone wants to share their information, then we wait for that opportunity. But it could be stagnating just in that essence and what's happening in today, because you're just like you. You're talking with me, with people all day long. A lot of people don't know what we do, where we're coming from, where we get our inspiration. And they some people will look at what they think they know and really don't know. But
really
people
don't
are coming all the time. Right, exactly. And we have to know, because it's not about, you know, just all the tangible things, but it's absolutely about what we absolutely know that we need to continue to keep going, to continue to be able to move forward and without prejudice. And what I mean by that is the advice, the counsel, the mentoring, having to seek mentorship as well. Without that, we can drop the ball. You get tired, and a lot of people stop. And I said all of that to say this, is that people will drop not just an assignment, but just getting so close to what you might hear someone say as a breakthrough, or just getting to that plan or that purpose, something that they've ultimately been waiting for, and they're right at the threshold. And because they've been so outweighed and weighed down, they just give up. They give up. If you speak to, you're talking to someone and they don't know, let's say, for example, you and I are talking and we don't have the right mindset and we really don't know how to keep our minds focused and minding our own business, and you're trying to venture on something, but I don't
right.
see it or understand it, and I say to you, oh, Monica, I don't think you should do that. And then I start pointing out, as I have done in your life many, 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 many times, and say, oh, but this or but that. And I start pointing out all kinds of things that could go wrong. That
Absolutely.
Is a prime example of not minding my business. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is a prime example. And yes, yes. And when you, the way that you have dealt with it, now, I do applaud you because you were very tactful. Sometimes you weren't. I have to take that back, but for the most part, you were. And saying, wait a minute, excuse me, because this is my life. And this is what I have to do. You know, yeah, I'm going to take that route with this business plan, or I'm going to take this route in how I'm raising my children. But if I make a mistake, that mistake is mine, not yours. You know what I mean? So that's just really important. But I just wanted to share that perspective and when we don't mind our own business and how it can weigh down on us and pull us in a situation or pull anyone in a situation where you just get stagnated or let someone else's mindset or perception kill something. You know,
right.
I worked with a gentleman years ago. He actually introduced me to Blog Talk Radio and shared with me this gift that I have and things like that and what to do. And because so many people just did not have the ability to know how to mind their business, spoke so many different things into what should have been a working relationship. Had I had known how to mind my own business at the time, I did not. And so when we get into a place where we become doubtful and fearful, now we're motivated by fear. We're motivated by what ifs, you know, and not to say that God didn't have control and what was supposed to happen in that work relationship or any other, but we should be beyond and help ourselves and each other to get to a place of being beyond fear and absolutely confident that we're smart enough, brilliant enough to make sound decisions, wise enough certainly to make sure that we're praying before we make decisions. Everything should go before
mm-hmm.
prayer, not before anyone else, because if it doesn't fit you and you don't get the answer for it, no one else is going to get that answer for you. No one else
right.
can get that answer for you. Only God can tell you what you're doing or not doing. You know, but yeah.
You know,
I
think too, when you're dealing with trying to mind your business, minding your business has a lot to do with also not allowing yourself to be governed from the popular opinion or societal norms. What
happened? Oh, that's interesting. When you say the popular opinion, what do you mean by that?
Popular opinion, you know, majority, you know, we're in the world, you know, there's music, there's food, there's all these things, you have all these influences. So not being governed by that, not being a follower, you know, you being a trendsetter, being kind of confident in your space and knowing your space, knowing that, and you always go back to know thyself. You know, that's me. That was my favorite term, know thyself, know thyself. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to
you
that,
always say that.
Yeah. Yep, know thyself, heal thyself, because you do. And not only that, I just, you know, we started the show and we didn't do any shout outs, and I had a shout out for Reverend Rod, that's what we call him, Reverend Rod, but it's Rodney K. Williams.
Oh,
he has this book called Affirmations Matter, Repeat After Me. And I went through
Affirmations.
When I say the atmosphere changed, some of my thought processes, they're like, it was a constant reminder. Sometimes we need that. Affirmations do matter. Because if we're doing affirmations, we're not even really focusing and paying attention to all the other stuff. We're minding our business.
Wow.
So.
But, you know, that's funny you brought him up. I'm glad you brought him up because I know that he's not listening to the show or anything right now, but I absolutely have to say this because he and his wife, Stephanie, are prime examples of minding your business. I just wanted to let you know, too, I saw that the people from Chicago just log in. Hey, Chicago, hello, hello. I think I see Miami. Hello, guys. How are you? I'm glad you guys are here, but I wanted to share this. Yeah, I wanted to share this about Reverend Rod and his wife, Stephanie, because they were prime examples of minding your business. A few years ago that I first met him and got acquainted with him and his wife, we have never met in person, but we have done some sound spiritual warfare together. They have prayed for me and my family, have done a whole lot of wonderful things from a distance. And one of the things with all the social media and the influences and the manipulations that people could do, they've never once bothered to try to solicit, manipulate, bondage, facilitate, nothing inappropriate, nothing out of the way. Nothing in it, anything out of the way. If I bought any merch, as my grandson calls it, merch from them, it was for a good cause and it served a good purpose. Every movement that was in Baltimore, this man was absolutely upon and on. Dedication to his wife and his children and his family and the community, and then all the community thereof. I mean, and then consistent. I mean, super, super, super consistent. If he was my own son, and I always say this, and you know I always said this about him, I would just be so super proud. And the reason why I'm stressing that, because when you brought up his name just now and you wanted to give that shout out, I had to give a prime example of people who mind their business. That's a prime example. They're about their business, doing what they got to do for the community, and being about him and his family, being about business, getting things done and completed. He's never gossiped. He's never said, well, what about that? Or what happened to that show? Or what happened here? What happened there? When I was sick or I fell off or had to, sometimes I'm called to consecrate or set myself aside. Never questioned it. Never said, oh, my goodness, okay, you're not consistent or anything like that. Never. Never. And easily could have, because there have been many, many meetings that I had not met him at. And easily could have said that. Instead, he said, I understand. You know, he didn't say it in so many words, but I'm going to say it for him. He said, I mind my own business, because that's exactly what he did. You know, so let's focus on what we can do. That's his attitude.
Right.
Let's focus on what we can do.
You cannot judge, because some blessings may come from, you know, somebody that you would think is unlikely. And that's the thing. This is how people end up missing it. You're going to miss it, especially with our young people, our young audience. You're going to miss it. They got blue hair, black hair. They have, you know, different genres. They have a different way of going about, you know, pulling themselves in, or what I call looking through or getting to your higher self, which is your spirit. They have different ways of doing that. They come from a different paradigm than we do. You know, I have my own. It's like there's a contrast between you and I. You have a way that you receive the Holy Spirit, and I have a way that I receive the Holy Spirit. You have a way that you perceive things and your paradigm and your time, and I have a way that I receive things. The paradigm that I came in on, the one that you birthed me in on, is, you know, completely different from what your paradigm
and
was
it is.
When grandma
It really is, because your paradigm is far more, it's about something I don't even know anything about. I always tell you that. I don't know anything about it. So when I see it, what I've learned is I have to respect where you are. I have to respect your decisions and trust your decisions and trust your walk. Because you see, this is the thing that's so typical. Any relationship, raising children, mother, daughters, couples, families, and it's like stay in the box. Don't you go so far. Stay right here is what I want you to know. you might have to go to Africa or to Paris, and that's far removed from the places of New York City and Baltimore that we know about. And am I supposed to say to you, oh, no, don't go so far. Don't you go, well, you don't know those people out there. You don't know what they're doing over there in Africa. That it's in, but even in your walk, you know, and I'm just speaking figuratively, but, you know, one day you may have to go. And I need to support you in that decision. You may decide that, you know, you need to do other things and supernaturally and in your walk that I know I don't know anything about because you're a healer, you know. And so I've learned to respect you as a healer. And that's not something that I know anything about. I've learned to respect your walk and in terms of deliverance because I've seen you heal people in their scalp, their hair, and help their body. And one of the things is because of the different types of stagnations that we're both learning at the same time, one of the things you and I became acutely aware of is you can't give someone what you don't have. And you can't speak to something that you haven't done. So we're constantly reminding each other and holding each other accountable. For everyone who's listening right now, we're constantly holding each other accountable. And we should be doing that throughout our community as well, holding each other accountable for what we do and what we say. Because if I could tell you, and tell you what you're doing or what you're not doing, then I darn sure better be doing it myself. I better know about it. I better be doing, and it may not be the same thing that you're doing, but the same principle that I hold anyone else to the standards of, I certainly should be holding myself to that standard. I certainly should be holding myself to that standard. So when I speak to, you know, you being that healer in your walk and things of that nature, and you hear me counseling and speaking to other people, the same thing that I'm telling them and exercising with them, I should be exercising with you too. And then I should be exercising with myself as opposed to, and really, really getting to that place of, do I really understand how to mind a business? Do I really, really understand? That doesn't mean that we allow people to walk into a situation where they hurt themselves and say, oh, they ain't in my business, you know. That's not what I mean.
Right.
But
I was going to say,
yeah.
Let's clarify.
Mm-hmm.
And for the, you know, let's say loud for everybody all the way in the back that missed it. You know, to make sure that we're not, you know, speaking to, oh, just mind your business. And we're not talking about being desensitized. We're not saying ignore your discernment. You see something wrong, obviously, there's something that's going to trigger you and go, hey, you know, what's wrong here in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about flying into a situation that has nothing to do with you, but you're trying to manipulate it to have it to have something to do with you. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's one
mm-hmm.
virtual reason. To you know, do things. Like I said, there's a manipulation where it's positive because you're doing it without harming
mm-hmm.
others, especially if it's going to benefit the next person. That's one thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
I believe in that. I believe
mm-hmm.
in positive manipulation without harming others. But then there is also
mm-hmm.
a manipulation, again, where you do cause harm to others or, you know,
yes.
you could be doing things and it's just so many different rays of it. I'll just say rays, like the sun. Different versions of it, rather, or different characteristics or classifications of it. Those
mm-hmm.
words.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're thinking about, you know, different avenues or ways of getting to these different these judgment points or this manipulation, there's just so many different examples, you know. Women manipulate men in, you know, different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers manipulate their children in different ways. Fathers manipulate their daughters
mm-hmm.
or their wives in different ways. A mother and daughter can manipulate each other, you know. Now, whether it's healthy or not, that's what we're trying to determine. This is what we don't want to do. We don't want to do anything that's going to cause somebody to be in bondage, will cause somebody to have to be, we don't want to be a stumbling block.
So it's safe to say, in the way that I heard you just say that, is that manipulation and not minding one's own business, they're kind of cousins to each other. They're related in some way, because
yep.
in order to manipulate, you kind of sort of have to be a busybody, and then absolutely. I certainly agree with that.
God manipulates the earth to do certain things. The devil manipulates mm-hmm. the earth to do certain things, the air to do certain things. Things are manipulated. They have to move. You have to do something. There's a cause and an effect. Cause and effect is manipulation. Mm-hmm. When you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
what do
there,
you
there,
do
there's the
to, path. What would you say, what do you do to keep yourself from falling, not just in a place of bondage and manipulation, but being that person who doesn't know how to mind their business? Like, I know me, I know that I'm learning, and I have to practice all day long, really. Let's be honest, all day long, I'm practicing knowing
yes.
how to mind my business, stay out of my head. I heard somebody call it the committee or something like that. I forgot what it was called.
Yes,
but, you know, just staying out of my brain and my thoughts.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
But no, I do my brain and my thoughts. Because
mm-hmm.
if I don't and I don't get to talk to myself, then myself might do something that will get all the rest of me in trouble. And I don't know how many me's
mm-hmm.
is inside of this me. But I do know that me... We
what?
Don't want to be sitting up in nobody's head. We are too cute to be anybody's bottom chick. Let's just say that.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm
not fooling with you. So basically, no, but that's true, because I blew up at someone that I shouldn't have blown up at. And
mm-hmm.
you know, even though you were able to go back and repair that business relationship, because these are business relationships, and I can't continue to do that and then have you clean it up. I go mess it up, and then you go clean
it
up.
Well, I think that's a form of positive manipulation, because on one level, you are in the protective mode of, all right, we're not going to mess with my child. You're not going to come in here and disrespect me either, because you misunderstand my child, me, or my family, because they were not minding their business. That's another example.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you said, wait a minute, A, B, and C, and, you know, that hashed off the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, because of the nature of where I am and who I am and what I've already done with the person, you know, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. I was able to connect and go, okay, this is where we
mm-hmm,
are.
Mm-hmm.
And move that
yeah.
over, you know, and leave it be. So I think that was still a form of positive, because we didn't dwell on it. You know, we made peace about it. And that's the whole point, is we will have peace in everything that we do. We are, and that's what we're going to keep doing that. And that's the whole point, is making sure that we, again, are minding our business. And minding our business means we're going to guard that peace.
Right.
So,
you know what I realized, too, because I noticed something, and this was just a couple of weeks ago, that there are instances where I trust you in your ability, and then there's that place where I say, oh, no, they don't want to talk to me. They rather talk to Monica, because Monica may be a little bit more nice or a little bit more agreeable. And then I realized that was my own thought and perception, because when I see you handle business and different tasks at hand, and especially lately, you're going at it from a perspective of maturity and not losing your cool so quickly. And so that's interesting to me, because where I once thought that you lose your cool too quickly in some areas, then there's other areas where you don't. I've learned that now I have to understand that I'm not the only person who can not just be confrontational, because I don't want to call it just confrontational, but assertive. But I have my own way, and I have to respect people in their own way too. And it also let me know that Yeah, I want to call it that.
Words too, you know, you got the word aggressive. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can be, and I know I'm working on it. But one of the things I think that's really helping me that I was about to say is that I'm learning that God is in control.
Yep.
And if and at this age and at this level of my experience, I've heard myself say it, but
mm-hmm.
did not really believe it.
Yeah.
You understand? Right. I didn't really lean into it and really, really say God is in control, because therefore, this is why I take so much of the back, you know, and getting into that place again of really not minding my own business, because part of minding my business is knowing that God is in control, that I'm not. I am not the person. I have some legal authority, but I'm not in control.
Being governed in your path and where you're going.
And depend on him. I absolutely must. And stay out of my own way, because then now I'm trying to make some decisions and trying to find $10,000 in my own ability to get some things taken care of. And I don't have that ability. None of us do. But I can speak about me. I know that I can't move without God's ability. So if I have to do something, whether it's multitasking or aiding and assisting with our company or anything else or a project, just my health, you know, being able to get to that doctor and taking care of my body and things of that nature, it's all of that ability is not on me. That's not on me. I need God's help to do it. And I'm just realizing that I don't do anything in my own strength. My ego really likes to think it does, that I do. But I don't. I don't. And so that's a learning process for me. That's a serious learning process for me. So part of minding my business is making sure that I
Rena.
To make sure that I'm holding other people accountable, especially when there's an agreement that's been made. It is so important, so important. And that's just, you know, I think those are the rules. If I thought of anything else, is making sure that I know that God is in control. I can't do it alone or by myself. And taking care of myself first, or then I'm not good to anyone else. I think another aspect, too, is integrity. Minding my own business enough to have integrity, that's challenging. It's deeply challenging in the way that we have to do business in the world today. Integrity gets challenged all day, all day long, all day
yeah.
long.
Mm-hmm.
If you have rules for you because you're you, what would your top three or top five be when it comes to minding your business?
My challenges?
Mm-hmm. Or your top four? I wouldn't call them challenges. What's your top four?
For minding my business. For me, minding my business.
For you.
For me,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, minding my business comes in the form of not being consumed with other people's problems. You know, over
mm-hmm.
the course of time, I have friends that I have history with that know me. We went through high school together. Then I have friends and girlfriends that I've met along the way in college. And, you know, there are friends that are there and solely not even really friends. Like we're not, we know of each other. These are people I just got finished filtering and getting out of my life. And it's not even necessarily that we bother each other. We don't even take up each other's space or time in that way. we probably speak to each other once a year or twice a year, or we catch up and go, hey, what's going on with you? What's going on with you? I got children now. I'm married, or whatever the case may be. You know, it's that. But I've had to let them go because I could never reach them when it was time to reach them if I needed an emotional sounding board. But they could reach me. And if I needed to do prayer or anything or listen to them rant or whatever, it was okay, you know, just to have people just pull in unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to, like, you know, you got to go on an energy budget and you got to say, run my energy back. Whoever got it, give it back. Give it back.
I love it. Exes,
friends, frenemies, enemies alike, you know, mutual enemies where you guys know you really don't like each other, but you don't like each other to the point where you don't want to see each other eat. You just don't want to eat at each other's table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a few of those. So it's like, oh, okay. But as far as business is concerned and making certain types of or having certain access to certain things, I have those accesses. Mm. I think that comes from me having the attitude, you know, I've always kind of developed that attitude where sometimes there's something for me that, like, when God wants you to have something, he'll use anybody. You have to have a high expectation of getting what God said he was going to give you, and then you have to have a low attachment. And I'm still learning how to have a low attachment to certain people and certain things because the nature of my kid, you know, the healer part of me goes, oh, wait.
I like that. I like that high expectations and low attachments.
Yeah.
I like
because,
the way
you
put that.
It could be, you know, a witch. You know, it could be a warlock. It could be, you know, somebody insidious. It could be a mass murderer. You know, it could be the person at the bank who served time in jail and they knew how to take, they know how to take your taxes and do other things. They know how to manipulate. You don't know who it is that you want to get this piece of knowledge from, and you can't judge them by the book. You know, you can't judge them by their cover. You can't judge them by their outside appearance or even some of the things that they've done. You just know, okay, well, let me get what I need to get from you. Thank you, and keep it moving. You know, you don't have to touch and agree with that person. You don't have to connect. Just because something may be, and this is where bondage, that whole idea, somebody will do something for you, or we may be working on a project together that does not necessarily mean that we got to work on 5 and 6 or 7 other projects together. Now, if it's lucrative, if it's productive, that's great. But that doesn't mean that I owe you and we got to be butt buddies either.
But you know what? This is why that happens, because a lot of times we do have to look past the fact that God can use anybody. So this is why it's so important that we mind our own business, but we also have to be aware enough not to fall into bondage or manipulation just because so-and-so has done this or so-and-so has done that. And so this is what I feel like I'm assigned to or appointed to or anything of that nature, because we do want to mind our own business and we don't want to be just so altruistic. I remember my brother, who I love dearly, he shared this. We said this to me years ago. You cannot afford to be altruistic about everything and anyone. And if you don't know what altruistic means, that means being overly concerned or overly involved for someone's state of being more so than your own. And it causes a malfunction. It's a behavior that where a person just seems so selfless, but overly concerned for the well-being of someone else. They seem to be and appear to be so unselfish, and it's a behavior that's not good. It's a principle and a moral practice of being concerned for happiness for others and other human beings, or an animal, or just anything that's resulting in a quality of life whether it's materialistically or spiritually, but if there's a traditional virtue about that and it belongs to different cultures and different aspects and various other religions and or secular worldviews, but it doesn't have and or take place in everyday activity and for the everyday average person, unless that's what you are called to do. You know, when we hear about Gandhi or Mother Teresa or someone in a position like Nelson Mandela, these people exercise altruism. They were altruistic about the state and the welfare of other people, even at the risk of their own lives or themselves. And that's great. But I'm a grandmother. I'm not Nelson Mandela. I'm not Mother Teresa, none of that. These people had something that they were assigned to do that they could do. If I'm sitting around, for example, and I'm going to take myself out the equation, and I'm on welfare and I'm homeless, and Pastor so-and-so said, this is what I should be doing, and make sure I give up my Social Security check so that everybody in the church can have some lights and some fried chicken every Sunday, that's a state of false, I don't know what that is. And it's, but I've seen people do that in a state of altruism and being altruistic and saying, oh, but I got to do it. I got to give it up because they're going to be hurt. Oh, they got to do this. And I've gotten phone calls from people who said, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that because they're hurting. Their lights is about to be turned, the water is about to be turned off, or this is about to happen, or that's about to happen. That's a lie. That it's not healthy. Because if you don't have the mindset of taking care of yourself and your own, then who are you gonna look out for? I don't think that Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Deepak Chopra, Khalid Muhammad, Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, none of these people forsake their own and their family to say, oh, wait a minute, let me go next door or go down here to the church and give them all my money or anything like that. You know, let me give all the profits, everything I got, because God said so. Now, God may call us to do some things, you understand, but he would never call us to go into a place of pain and deprivation. He just won't do that. He's not going to say to you, well, I want to put you in pain or deprive you, and I'm going to take everything that I gave you. I want you to take everything I gave you so that you could give it to somebody else, so you and your children be hungry and homeless, or I'm not going to leave no food in the house for you, sister, so you can't even cook or feed your husband because you done gave everything away. You can't pay your bills and or support yourself and your wife or your children because you trying to give everything now to someone else. Well, let's leave the church out of it because these are personal attachments and different types of soul ties that happen where people just do these things and become altruistic. And so you if you're not called to do that, you have to be very, very careful about how selfless you want to be. That's also a form of people pleasing. And I've always said that people pleasers are liars. People pleasers are liars because it's not real. That's not real. There is no way that we're here to love and comfort and support one another, not please one another, because you can't please anyone, especially in the flesh. You really can't. You understand? There's a place of contentment and satisfaction. You understand? And those are in personal relationships and intimate relationships, family relationships. But places of strangers and fellowship, you have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. So that's where those states of altruism can come in, you know, and just there's a lot of confusion behind that. So when you said that, I'm really glad that you said it that way because it made me think about being altruistic and what happens. And that's if that was one of your top four, you know, that's a great place to even start because we have to mind our own business enough to know and be aware of what we're doing and how we're functioning so that things don't come into our home, into our minds, affect our lives, the lives of our children, grandchildren, loved ones, fiancés, husbands, whoever. your working relationships, people that you're influencing, you know, especially, you know, to our young adults there in Chicago and how you guys have to move around. And I'm not saying Chicago is the exception. However, I do know for a fact that in the areas and where principalities are doing different things, you do want to move a little bit differently. You won't move the same way in Chicago that you may move in Colorado. You know what I mean? So just a thought. And so we have to be take the initiative, be aggressive in that. Definitely be aggressive in minding our own business. I had a young lady call me a couple of weeks ago, and she wanted to know what another brother was doing in terms of how he moves about his, not just social media, but the work and stuff that he does on his radio show and things of that nature. And I thought, why? Wait a minute, why are you calling me to even ask me? And immediately I took offense and then realized that she may not have been trying to do anything wrong, but it was my responsibility to say, hold on, that's not your business. What are you interested in what they do? What are you interested in who he's dating and not dating? What are you interested in all of that for? You know, that's where I should have been. And I had to call that woman back and tell her, you know, hey, that's not correct. That's not correct. And God forgive me and you for taking a part in any kind of conversation against this man, because that's not our place. That's not our business. That's not our business. Right. I said, if anything, you know, because you're working with him, you work with him on the show and everything that you're doing, why didn't you go to him and ask him? So what's really going on? You know, so I had to think about that and keeping that, you know, definitely at the forefront, being accountable for what we say to each other and what's real, you know, coming from a place of love. That's so important, but it helps us to keep our homes, our households, and all straight. I also wanted to say this to a lot of our listeners right now. Just because something fell apart and has gone bad or a little eerie and didn't go the way it was supposed to go, or you're raising children and they're going through heartache and hardships, or the relationship didn't go right, or your wife is acting up, you know, or your girlfriend just didn't do what you thought she was supposed to do the way it was supposed to happen, or vice versa, or you lost someone or experienced a death, or you're in a place of grieving and mourning. We have to change those situations. We want to get out of the grieving stage of all of it, every single bit of it, every single bit. I went through it with nephews and things of that nature and different relatives. We have to get out of that place of grieving and holding on to that and staying. If we're going through a mourning process, yes, mourn. Do mourn, but let everything else go, because life must go on, especially for those that you are assigned to, whether it's grandchildren, whether it's that husband, whether it's that wife. Everyone cannot suffer because of what someone else has done or someone else leaving us. We cannot drop the ball in every situation and just let all kinds of holism run through our lives. And what I mean by that is just open up your doors and your life and your heart to all kinds of grief, pain, foolishness, and there's just all kinds of foolery all over the place, because then everything becomes vulnerable. And not just the children or your mates or your partners, because when something is weak and it's open and it's vulnerable, that weakness it is challenged. That's like if you think about the wilderness. We were looking at something, and I remember you pointed out, what was that, one of those animal shows or something, and when the tigers, or it was a lion, it was chasing a deer, or it was a zebra, actually. It was a zebra, and a zebra, it was the weakest one. I was like, why is it going after that baby one? Well, this is the same. So everyone knows that. Something becomes weak, and then it becomes vulnerable. And don't lose heart for people who misunderstand you. Don't lose heart about that, because their misunderstanding does not mean that that's you. Get over it, move on, and don't let it become you. Just keep your focus and keep going. It may not look right or may not even sound right, but just keep your focus and keep going. Keep picking yourself, pull the right resources, and absolutely get around people who honestly care for you, not people who are going to co-sign you, not people that you can manipulate and get a couple of bucks from, none of that. I mean someone who motivates you to, and the type of people who motivate you to being your best you. And if you don't have five of those people in your life, find them. Everyone who's listening right now, find five people that you absolutely get that type of support, encouragement from. That means who's able to tell you the truth, help you to get to and see you, not only get to and see you, but also have a place in your life that they have and or are going where you're trying to get to. So if they're not doing it, it's not too much that you could get from it. And I don't mean everything monetarily and or tangibly or anything like that. I mean soundness, soberness, the ability to get through pain. These people should look like someone who has raised their children, who has come through their marriage or getting along with their wife or getting along with their husband. People who are dedicated to their family first. If they're not dedicated to their family first, they're not worth nothing. I'm going to tell you that right now. If they don't have respect for their family and themselves first, then, yeah, I don't even know what to say about that. So I hope everyone who's listening right now that you are absolutely in position of loving yourself and loving your family before you decide to tell anyone else what to do. And so, but I suggest that you get five of those people. You get five. You have covered yourself not just in a five-fold ministry and resources, but you have covered yourself all the way around plus one. So that means all four corners and all the way around plus one. Those are who are enlightened understanders.
Well, when I think about it, you are, I like the way you've always kind of had that. I think you were born with that. I think the background and how you were raised has a lot to do with you and pulling that aspect. But when you think about movement and you think about your way personally, how do you deal, or how would you think you're going to deal later on